Fine Gardening for the Gulf Coast. With Mobile's award-winning garden expert and chief horticultural advisor for Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch. We'll talk about living and growing on the Gulf Coast. Now, your personal yard and garden consultant, here's Bill Finch.
Yo, it's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning. Hope you're doing well. You know, some really monumental things happened this past week, and we need to talk about them and their implications for your life. The first, I don't know where to start because there were so many big ones, but the first one I have to start talking about is are the satsumas. They're absolutely incredible right now. They're reaching their peak. If you got distracted and are missing the satsumas, maybe I'm exaggerating, okay? Maybe the vote's not fully in yet on this. But I think the satsumas are going to be really good this week, and they're going to get better. Well, let's say they're going to get better. I think they probably will get better. You know, these things take a while to work out. And the satsumas are going to keep getting better and better and better into November. I've already had good reports from folks that the satsumas are absolutely delicious right now. Monumental things happening this past week. Really incredible things happening. Let me tell you, this is, it has gotten me excited. I'm revved up. Got my garlic in. You talk about monumental. You talk about big things. I got my garlic in. I got all kinds of garlic. I'm excited to plant it. It's finally time. Things got slowed down this year. You know, COVID and all that. Fires on the West Coast. Everything. And my garlic's finally in. I'm ready to start planting it. I actually have already made the labels. They're already in the ground waiting for these garlic cloves that came in yesterday. Nice box. Unpackaged them all. They're beautiful, beautiful garlic. I'm so excited. We could talk a long time about garlic and some of the experiments I'm doing with garlic here. It's really fun. Monumental things happening this past week. The sweet peas, I finally got a shipment. I've been planting lots of different kinds of sweet peas. And you understand sweet peas are not edible peas, and we've kind of forgotten about them because, I don't know, because we live our lives like we live in Boston, and we can't ever figure out, but sweet peas, everybody knew, you plant your sweet peas in fall. They're flowers. They're beautiful flowers. They're very fragrant. There are a lot of traditional varieties. It was an old-fashioned plant. Lots of people used to do sweet peas. It's a really great thing. The sweet peas came in. I have a sweet pea that came in. Maybe it is a sign on the wall. It says, I've been looking for it for a while. It is the America sweet pea. It's a very old sweet pea. Hear it. It's a great little package of sweet peas. I'm really excited. I'm going to plant them because now is the time. I told you, this is an important week. It's an important week, and I'm going to plant them because this is the time of year. They get started, and here in Alabama, they will grow. They'll get their roots in the ground. They'll get really started. And they'll slow down because the days are getting shorter and all these things. But you know what? They're not going to die. They're going to come back in spring. They'll already be well established, and that means they bloom early in spring. I have always tried to focus on some of the older varieties, and the ones that are that don't require long day lengths to bloom. You want shorter day length varieties. We can talk about that. But listen, the sweet peas are ready. Here's the other thing, and it just is occurring to me. I'm getting into that harvest window. It's a monumental time where you don't know how to. Everything from summer is coming in. I've got huge things. Did I tell you about the basil? Did we talk about the basil? We did a monumental thing last week. We made basil buttermilk pie. Oh my goodness! Oh goodness gracious! Oh gosh! Do we have to talk about basil buttermilk pie? And you know what else I did? I made some black beans. I got all this basil. I just poured it. Monumental things are going on. Monumental things are happening. And we're just beginning to take advantage of them. It's so, so much fun what's going on this past week. The wildflowers. I keep the wildflowers all over the state. And down to Dauphin Island right now, they're really beginning to blow up. Just incredible. And the butterflies are coming in because this was a monumental week. It was a monumental week. And maybe you missed it. Maybe you missed it. You know, if you're gonna secede from the Union, if you're gonna decide that, oh gosh, I'm gonna go live in this so far from people that I don't have to be part of anything anymore. You know, the first thing you gotta figure out is, if we in here in Alabama decide we're gonna secede from the Union, first thing you better figure out is, where are you? What do you have here? How do you make use of it? How do you understand Alabama? How do you understand Mobile? How do you understand where you are for the first time? I think that every day, because I realize, boy, every day I'm discovering something new in this place. Every day I'm discovering some new thing that, you know, is a little scary, that changes the way I think about the world, that turns things upside down, that sometimes says, man, there's a new way of doing this. There's a new way of doing this that makes me more independent, not because I'm good, not because I even worked that hard at it, but because I looked at where I am and said, what an incredible place. What a beautiful place. What a place that I can take advantage of without destroying it. Just because I understand where it is. Mm-mm-mm. Folks, the satsumas are coming in. It's a monumental week. I hope you can get out and enjoy it. I hope you can see it, because nothing you do, nothing that happens this week, I guarantee for your life, nothing will be more consequential than figuring out where in the world you are and how special it is and how important it is and all the many things you can do while you're here. Hey, we got lots to talk about today. I know we've got some cleanup to do from all of these hurricanes and other things that are coming through. What's going to happen with this latest one? I don't think it's going to be another threat to us, but you never know. We do have to think about that. We've got hurricane damage extending throughout the state. We got some data in from some of the hurricanes, and what's interesting is that the wind speeds are pretty high, well into central Alabama, and that explains some of the damage we're seeing. We can probably help you with some of those trees if you go ahead and send us a picture of the trees and other things you've got in your yard. We may be able to help a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about it. Talk a little bit about how to recover. And certainly, most of all, we're going to talk about what a fine time of year it is for planting. What a fine and beautiful time of year it is to be in the garden. This silky air, man, oh man, it ain't a distraction from more important things. It is the important thing. It's the important thing to understand where you are. It's going to change the way you see everything else. It's really important. So let's talk a little bit more about that today. Hey, feel free to give us a call. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. And let me tell you something else. If you have a picture of something in your yard that you need to ask questions about, all you got to do is text it. Just text it. Take a picture of it. You got one of those little devices now. Everybody's got one of them things that you just put your finger on the picture, you take the picture, you text it in, there it is, and we can help you answer questions about your garden. Gonna be a fun morning this morning. Let's talk about where you are. Let's talk about what you need. Let's talk about how to understand where we are, how to take advantage of it. I'm interested to hear if you have disagreements about the satsumas with me. You just should call and tell me. You should tell me I'm wrong. But you should try them first. So go out, try some satsumas, pick up some satsumas. Let's see what it looks like. Hey, we've got lots of time this morning. Got the next 2 hours just devoted just to listening, just to talking to you on a very monumental week here along the Gulf Coast. So give us a call, 251-343-0106. And we're already getting messages this morning from lots of different people. We're going to be back to answer those questions just as soon as we can.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning. We got lots of things to talk about. We got some callers. It really is important, whatever you're going to do. Have I said this before? It's really important to understand where you are and how different it is in other places. And it's like for all of us, it's just like we're just like Columbus. We just got here. We don't have a clue. We go out and tell me, tell me how you're different. Tell me how your place in the world is different than other places. That's an important question. And you can give me some answers, I'm sure, but you haven't explored it probably the way you should. I'm guessing this because I've been trying to explore it for years, and I realize, man, we're just beginning to understand. We're just beginning to learn. And it's a shame. We could really make better use of where we are if we understood it better. If we understood that there are, 40 species of oaks in Alabama, and it's a big thing as the trees are falling on our houses. I always like to, just one of the consequences of not understanding that there are a lot of different kinds of oaks and that they're all different and they all operate differently, and some of them are going to fall on your house more likely, and some of them are less likely to fall on your house. That's just a very simple thing, isn't it? But that's just the tip of the iceberg. It's just barely understanding where you are, and we aren't even that far. We're still discovering new oak species in Alabama. Isn't that amazing? How can you be here for this long? How can we all be here for this long and not even know? None of us knew what was out there. None of us knew that there were more oaks than we not only than we can count, but even the scientists didn't know because we hadn't looked very closely at where we are. I'm always impressed about that with Alabama, is how much we haven't figured out about where we are. And, if we're ever going to be independent, we better sure as fire know where we are. Knowing where we are. That's maybe we can explore that a little bit more today. Hey, listen, knowing where you are, one of the first ways to discover it is to go out and begin doing things that maybe you didn't expect you could do in other places. So planting seeds right now, if you know where you are, if you understand where you are and you love gardening, you're out planting seeds this week. Because it's that time of year when seed planting is very important. There's a lot of things I like to plant earlier in September and October, even as early as August for growing throughout the winter. But some things I think now is just about the right time for. Sweet peas, probably just about the right time for. Weather's cool enough, at least on the Gulf Coast, just perfect time for sweet peas. I also think, generally it's a good time for carrots and beets. You're not going to harvest those carrots or beets before Christmas if you plant them now. But you know what? After Christmas, they're really going to start growing, and they'll really develop. And then in spring, while the days are still cool, you're going to have great carrots and beets. This is the time to do that. This is the time to plant garlic. This is the time to plant bulbs, flowering bulbs as well, like, narcissus and jonquils and daffodils and all those things. It's the time for plants. You know, it's the time for lawns. I say to people, I want to fix my lawn. I say, look, wait till November. Wait till late October. Wait till November. Give me a call. Let's talk about it. We'll figure out how to do it then. Don't do it now. Don't do it now. Rusty is asking, is it okay if you plant a fern in your live oak? Rusty, on that tree, given that it is looks like it's pretty far away from anything that you'll need to worry about, I think it won't be a problem at all. You know, it's funny that in a lot of these live oaks that are grow in the wild, you'll see palms growing out of the heart, out of some branches of live oaks. It's just an amazing thing. Really fun to watch. There's a lot of plants that actually grow in the crotches of these plants. Is it good for the tree that happens? I don't know, but it's probably good for everything else. I mean, the trees serve as big platforms for all these other things to grow. It may actually increase the rot in the tree just a little bit, but having that diversity stacked up in a funny way like that, you know, above the ground, increases the diversity of a specific place in the world, makes everything else healthier. I think it's kind of a neat thing when things grow out of those crotches in the tree. It's a cool thing. It's a cool thing. So, yeah, I'd say so. Teresa, thanks for calling this morning. You doing okay?
Yes. For some reason, I can barely hear you.
Yeah, we got... Can you hear me a little better now? I'll try to talk up a little more.
Yes.
Somehow it doesn't translate on phone. All right, good. So tell me what's going on.
Well, I grew up in several different areas of the country, and one of the places we had cherry trees, and of course that was up in the northwest area, and I've lived down here for several years, and I was just thinking if it was probable to plant a cherry tree down here. One of the things I'm not sure about is, of course, the soil, but also because of all of the red ants that we have.
Well, the red ants aren't going to make any difference to the cherry at all. In fact, if anything, the red ants may help in a small way because they'll get rid of some of the borers that might infect cherries. The big thing is the difference in climate between Mobile and the Pacific Northwest and between Washington, D.C., or between Ohio and Mobile or any place else. It's the climate that matters. And the problem for a lot of cherries that we grow in the northern part of the United States is they're from northern Japan and from cool climates in northern Japan and maybe in China, where they get long winters and lots of winter chilling, and those cherries need that winter chilling in order to set blooms. So if you were to grow the kinds of cherries that grow in Washington, D.C., for example, and plant them in Mobile, those cherries would not do well because they wouldn't get the winter chilling, and they probably won't bloom at all. Plus, they'll be short-lived because it's so much warmer here. So there's a lot of cherries in the world, and as long as you understand that what we grow at the cherries we grow in Mobile can't be the same cherries that are grow in the Pacific Northwest, you're going to do fine. We have a beautiful cherry. It's a stunning cherry. It does really well. It grows very fast. Like most cherries, it doesn't live a long time. But it'll live, you know, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years maybe. And it's beautiful. It's called Taiwan cherry. Taiwan cherry. And as the name sort of implies, it's from the warmer areas of Asia, where the climate is more like the climate in Mobile, and it does beautifully here. And the color of Taiwan cherry is like, I mean, it'll just knock you on the ground. It is absolutely stunningly beautiful. Taiwan cherry. So you've got to look for Taiwan cherry. Are you going to find it at Home Depot and Lowe's? No, because Home Depot and Lowe's don't have a clue where they are. They don't have a clue where Mobile is. They're not selling Taiwan cherry. But you can probably find it at Mobile Botanical Gardens and at some other places, some of the local nurseries. I recommend that you try them. Taiwan cherry. a great cherry for Mobile, and that will do very, very well. Not the Kwanzaa cherries and the other cherries that you grow in the Pacific Northwest, because this ain't the Pacific Northwest. By the way, the red ants. What was the other thing you were worried about? Red ants and what else?
The soil. Like I'm not sure if it was probable, and if it was, when to do it.
Yeah, now is the time. Absolutely. Everything, planting trees, there's not a single tree, except for citrus trees, that I wouldn't recommend planting right now. This is the best time for planting because our winters are so mild. The roots will develop over winter, and that way the tree will be really well established before we get into our one or two dry seasons, which is basically late April and May, when there's a lot of stress on plants during those periods, and so you want them to be well established before April or May, and you plant them now, you'll barely have to worry about them. I mean, you water them in, they're going to be great. They're going to have plenty of water during the winter. They won't have any heat stress. They're going to develop roots. So now's the time to look for them, and now's the time to plant them. Soils are interesting here. They are different. The big difference is not so much the soil, which is different than some other places, but what's in the soil. And one of the important things to remember is there are thousands of creatures that live in the soil, and the farther south you go and the more humid it is, the more rain you get, and the warmer it stays most of the year, the more creatures there are in the soil. And it's the creatures in the soil, things we barely have names for, including bacteria and fungus and nematodes and lots of other things that are going to make a difference in how plants do. Some of them are beneficial to plants, some of them prey on plants, and so that's the difference between soils here and in colder parts of the country. How's
well,
that?
I appreciate your time. You've informed me quite well, and I'm going to try this.
All right, stay in touch with us, Teresa. We'll help you through.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Hey, folks, give us a call, 251-343-0106, or text us. We'll do what we can.
Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
With me.
So we seldom comment about that. It's something we just let go and let it pass and hope it doesn't happen again on the show. It's just one of those little things that happens here, Tiny Tim. But we think about tulips. It's an interesting thing. Tulips are an interesting thing to think about in sort of understanding where you are. You know, they're one of the interesting things to understand about tulips is that they require winter chilling. They require a certain amount of cold in order to bloom reliably. They don't like temperatures increasing too suddenly in spring either, and there's some other soil issues. But, you know, it is fun and interesting to know that there are a few tulips that even on the Gulf Coast will do pretty well. If you want to grow tulips as basically a throwaway flower, you can certainly do that. And there's a lot of ways to do that. I personally can't go to the trouble. And so somebody else will have to help you there. It just seems like, it gives me a headache to think about it, that I'd have to buy the bulbs and chit them and get them ready, and then put them out just as they're ready. Bellengrath does that at times, and I leave that to Bellengrath. That's not my thing. It's possible. But, you know, finding tulips that are adapted well to the Gulf Coast. Another one of the things about understanding where you are, understanding why a lot of, you know, first thing, begin to understand why tulips don't grow here. And it's the key to understanding what really does grow well here and what is fabulous and what is much better than having, honestly, much better than having tulips. Much better than having tulips. There it is. Just something to think about. Let's see. I got a bunch of questions. Sherry is always asking me good questions. We always have a good time when she sends in some questions. She's got some beautiful coleus, and Sherry's grown them for the first time. They did real well. You know, coleus are they're a nice thing to have in the garden because they bloom all the time. And not with little flowers. The leaves themselves are the blooms, in effect. They look beautiful. And the leaves stay good for a long period of time. You can't do that with most flowers. Most flowers have a period of time in which the blooms look good. You know, it may be a month, maybe a couple of months. And then the blooms kind of stop. There's a lot of good reasons for that because blooms are about, well, it's about having babies, making seeds. And there's a period of time when it's all going to happen. It's not something they do just for, you know, just for kicks. There's a reason for having flowers. But leaves are part of a plant all year long, right? At least until the cold. So if you find a coleus, it's really nice because you get this incredible big splash of color, and it's really reliable for a long period of time. Sherry's did it. She's really excited. Looks good in the pot. So it's coming up. It's going to be a little colder. And now is a great time if you've got some coleus that you love and you don't want to have to buy it again next year, or you're afraid you won't be able to find a particular variety of coleus next year, you can start cuttings. And here's what I do. It's pretty simple. It works pretty well. You don't want to start it too early because you don't want to have to take care of it too long. But sometime here in the next couple of weeks before it gets too cold, and I think you got a couple more weeks to think about it, Cherry, at least, you just take cuttings from about the top, 6 inches of those plants, the slenderest parts of the plant. Not, you don't need big stems. And just 3 to 6, make them 6 inches because it's easier to water that way, maybe even 8 inches. And cut off the tops. Take off all but a few leaves at the top. Otherwise, you're going to have a big mess. Take off most of the leaves. Leave a few at the top. Take off about half the leaves. Leave a few at the top. And then put those stems right away into a big jar of water. And just put them there. They're going to start forming roots. The only thing you'll have to do over the winter for that jar, put them in sunlight. They need a little bit of sunlight. They don't have to have all day sunlight, but they're going to need some good strong sunlight in a window part of the year. Find a good place where you can have that happen. And then change the water about every week or two. Okay? If you leave the same water, you're going to run into problems for a lot of reasons. So change the water, and you know what? Then when you'll have roots when spring gets here, and that happens about February, just take those plants, put them into potting soil. We'll call me back. We'll talk about how to work. We'll work through it. Put them in potting soil, and then you can plant them out. They'll be ready to go next year. So that's one good way to save them. If you have, you can try to save the whole pot. You just bring the whole pot inside and try to save it, but that takes up a lot more space. It may be a lot more difficult. So there you go. There's a thought as to how it happened. Let's see. More damage. So a lot of damage I'm seeing. Who sent me that picture? But it looks like some damage on a Satsuma tree. Lot of limbs got pulled off. Looks kind of bad. Looks ugly. You know, you may have to do a little more cutting farther down on the tree, but I think you'll be okay. It's going to be a while before it recovers. That's not a Satsuma. That's a, what is that? A Calamondin, and it'll recover pretty quickly. I think if you want to call me, and I don't have a name attached to this picture, which is okay. And let's see, if you want to call me and we'll talk about what we want to do. I think you're probably going to need to trim it down a little bit more. But right now, don't worry about it. Just leave it the way it is. Let's let the tree figure out what it's going to do next spring, and then we're probably going to want to cut it back more, but just hold off. Hold off. If you want to give me a call about that, we can. We can talk about it. It's a pretty bunged up, pretty damaged, looks like a calamondin. It'll come back. Going to be just fine. Going to take a while for it to develop its size again, but not nearly as long as it took to get to the stage where it is now. So because it's got such a big root system, it's going to recover quickly. The key is going to be good pruning this spring when it puts out new growth. Let's wait until spring to do that. Let's hope that the tree doesn't put out too much growth right now. We want it to just be quiet. We want it to be still. We don't want to force new growth. You know, a lot of people ask me this time of year, after a hurricane, we get this late in the year, should I add fertilizer? And I always say no. No, absolutely not. You want the tree to recover from these things slowly this year. You don't want to, there is zero reason to put on a lot of fast growth. And you want the tree to sort of have time. There should be not be any limits on, not any real limits on nitrogen at this point. That should not be an issue. And always like to remind people, fertilizer is not what the is not a medicine. It is a terrible medicine. In fact, it's a medicine in the same way a McDonald's hamburger is medicine. It just don't do it for you. It is grease for the wheels, but it is not a medicine. It does not make the tree better. It does not help the tree heal. It is grease that increases the photosynthesis process. But one of the things that excess nitrogen can do is it can cause the tree to put on unhealthy growth that can be very vulnerable to winter cold at this point. And a lot of times fungal infections are something that we look for that develop that certainly can develop after all of this damage is done to trees. Nitrogen can actually sometimes increase the chances for those kind of fungal diseases, particularly nitrogen in the soil. Just there's no need to do that. Let things happen slowly. Let the tree recover. Let's look at it next spring. Maybe next spring we might need a little more grease to keep the process of the plant feeding itself going, and the plant feeds itself by absorbing sunlight. So there it is. Let's just hold off on that, and let's see how that goes. But feel free to give me a call. And somebody sent me some pictures last week of a camellia that blew over, and whether salvageable. And yeah, boy, I see that it has got some big damage right there to the root, doesn't it? Help me understand what that white stuff is around the roots. I'm trying to understand. I can't figure out what that is. That's unusual. So give me a call. Let me look at this white stuff around the roots. That doesn't look good. What is that? So let me help me, and then let's try to figure it out. That tree is going to need pruning back. It is definitely going to need pruning back. There's no way you're going to be able to prop it up with that much foliage on it. But we need to have a conversation. We got to figure this one out. I think the tree is recoverable, but let's talk about it and figure out what's going on and figure out how we're going to prune it back. I got enough information now. We can make a lot of good decisions. We may, and I may recommend this, we may wait until spring to do major pruning. I don't know that I see any advantage to doing it now, but let's talk about it and let's figure out where we are. And so feel free to give me a call. Hey, if anybody else has got some issues with the hurricane, just send me a picture. Let's talk about those trees, and let's talk about what's happened to them. Let's talk about how to fix them. Give us a call this morning. 251 343-0106.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Yeah, welcome back. It's the Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. Lots of questions we got to get to. Someone asked about their calamondra tree. It's about 4 or 5 years old. It is only growing tall, not wide. You know what I think, and I could be wrong. Send me a picture of where this calamondra is. And I think it may be in too much shade. Just send me a picture, but I think that's the problem. Had not had a single fruit since the first year. Well, first 3 years, we don't count on a lot of fruit. Usually they start showing up around year four or five. But remember, plants feed themselves with sunlight, and citrus need lots of sunlight. Doesn't matter how much nitrogen you add. Nothing else matters. That's only grease for the wheels. The wheels that drive plant food production are that sunlight. That's what does it. And if you don't have sunlight, you're not going to have fruit. Fruit takes a lot of energy out of a plant. So that's going to be true for almost any plant. You got to have the sufficient sunlight, but it's particularly true for citrus. That's my bet. If I am wrong about that, you call me and tell me, boy, you're wrong about that. I got plenty of sunlight. And then we'll figure out what else is going on. But that's my bet. That's my bet. I know we've got a couple of callers, but who's up next? Is it Scott? Who was up next? Leanne?
Yeah, hello.
Scott, you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
So I took your advice, and I planted a yard full of yopons and camellias and liriope and agapanthus in the last 3 days. My question now is, how much water should I give it?
Water them in really good. I mean, you want to water them in. And one of the things that watering does when you plant is it settles the soil around the plant. So when you dig things up, you know, the soil gets all in it, and the soil doesn't get settled in around the roots. So you want to water them in really good. Mostly, honestly, at this time of year, that's about settling the soil. Truth is, you're probably not going to need to water a whole lot more. If we get any rain in November, it's probably going to be enough to keep those plants alive. They're not losing water. Is not coming out of the soil very fast because it just isn't. The temperatures are a little cooler. Nights are cooler. The humidity is actually getting to be pretty high in November. And so I don't, you know, you could water them in, and probably you'd be okay. Come back in a couple of weeks, and if you want to, just water them for the heck of it if we hadn't had much rain. But otherwise, you're probably not going to have to water again through the winter. How does that sound?
Oh, wow. That sounds awesome. Thank you.
Now, listen, let me tell you something else, Scott. In spring, they still won't have perfectly developed root systems. So when it starts heating up good in the 1st of March, and we start getting those bright sunny days and a lot of warmth, you'll lose a lot of moisture out of the ground, and you may have to water a little bit more in spring. So about every couple of weeks in spring, give them a good water. But right now, you're probably going to be okay. Water a little bit every couple of weeks if you think you need to, just because you feel like you need something to occupy your time, that'd be all right. But they're probably going to be okay. That's the cool thing about planting this time of year. Yeah. All right, good. Hey,
thank you very much. Ooh,
yes, sir. Got a caller from Fairhope. Who's up next? Kurt?
Yes, I'm on. Hi, Bill. Good morning.
How are you?
Great. My tree, not so sure. I'm hoping you can tell me. We talked
last week
about a camellia that blew over one way during the first storm Saturday.
Right.
And I had it pulled up, and then Zeta pushed it over the other way. So now it's down, and I'm trying to figure out what to do. You had mentioned it really ought to be trimmed back, and asked me to go ahead and get somebody who knows what to do, and also just send you some pictures. So you should have three pictures. I'm just curious your thoughts, and wonder whether we can wait and let it bloom before standing it back up, trying to stand it back up, prune it and stand it.
Or sure, we're not going to. I don't recommend working on it right now. I don't think it's a good time. But let me ask you first.
Yeah.
What is going on around the roots? What's all that white stuff?
Oh, it's sand.
Wow.
I put it in.
You just poured some sand on it. So, okay, good.
I did.
Yeah. So, that's fine. I was afraid it was lime or something else. I couldn't tell. But so that's fine. You know, I would say the tree is going to need cutting back. I'm a little worried about cutting it back right now. I think probably it makes sense to, because you're going to have to cut it back pretty severely. I think it makes better sense to cut it back later. Now, here's another radical idea. I'm going to suggest that you not prop it up.
Okay.
And that you let it grow back, because it's going to grow for the sunlight, and let it grow back. That means we're going to have to cut it back pretty radically. And let it grow back just where it is. If we try to prop it up, we're going to rip out more roots, because you just will. And you're going to have a real hard time standing it up and keeping it standing, and you want it to move around. I would say in that position, the tree will form an upright new growth. But we're going to have to do some judicious pruning, and that means cutting out some of those really thick, heavy limbs, and probably cutting out a lot of the growth back to about 3 feet or 4 feet up the trunk. And we're going to try to recover with the first 3 feet of growth there. And I see some ways to do that, and I think it'll work really well. All that is just fine. The problem is, I don't think you ought to do it this time of year. I think just let the roots.
Are you thinking spring or?
I'm thinking February. So in February, early February would be a great time to cut that growth back. So come back in early February. You send me that picture. I mean, I can tell you how to do it now, but then you'll forget in February. So, because just send me the picture again, and let's look at it in February, and take another picture in February, and let's look at it, and then let's figure out how to trim it back then. I think that's the way to do it. And you're going to end up with an upright tree in almost exactly the same place, and it'll be the best way to do it. I just feel like that's the best thing to do.
Okay.
And then you can enjoy the blooms right now.
Well, absolutely. My wife was the one that wanted to make sure I asked that question as far as letting
it
go first, so she'll be happy.
Not a problem. Not a problem. It'll be just fine.
You,
and let's that's good. So that's good. Good. Glad we could solve that.
I'll call in February and talk to you again then.
That sounds great. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, give me a call, folks, if you've got a similar problem. You know, in some cases, there are ways with smaller plants like this, rather than trying to lift them up, and I can see where this one's going to be a big problem because it broke off near the root crown. Leave the roots that are there. Let them stay established. The more you wiggle that tree around, the more roots you're going to break. And then let's cut the tree back and let it regrow. Even it seems like it's leaning now, but when it regrows, it's going to grow straight up because it's always going to grow for the sunlight. It'll work. So if you've got questions about how to do that, you give me a call. Hey, we're coming on a news break, and we don't have much time, but I know I've got a couple of questions I got to answer. Ooh, I got more than a couple. Hey, we're going to be back, so stay tuned.
Cucuzza Bella, she's my pizza pie with lots of mozzarella. With Cucuzza, I want to be. Cause Cucuzza is so crazy over me. Cucuzza grows in Italy, they love it on the farm. It's something like zucchini flavored with Italian charm. I call my